First up, we have approval of minutes from last month. I had a chance to review those.
I move that the minutes be approved.
I have a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now we have the public forum. So basically, if anyone is here from the public, not regarding one of the planning actions, I would like to present. Now's your time. Doesn't look like it. We'll move on. So we have no liaison, city council liaison or not, but we do have a short presentation from Mike Oxnine from the Parks and Rec Department.
So I can start with Pete's typical like Parks and Recreation report. You know, I don't know if you saw the article in the Daily Tidings today that came out about Lithia Park's Japanese Garden plan is back on. It will be before the Parks Commission on October, I should know this date, it's the next business meeting of the 24th, I think, 21st, 24th, to go for a full vote. The Parks Commission wanted to have a unanimous approval of the plan. The way it currently sits, it's 3-2. Three voted for the plan as it was proposed, two voted against it. The designer has come back with The vote was three commissioners were for the original plan proposed.
Yeah.
That included removing the two large Doug fir trees there. And two commissioners voted against it. They felt strongly that they wanted to get an all-in-favor vote, a unanimous decision, and so it's going back before the Parks Commission at their next business meeting with the new plan that Tanaka has put forward, which preserves the two large trees, and basically the rest of the plan is exactly the same as it was. So no significant changes. We did have a street tree get illegally run over by a car over by Cripple Creek Music, which is, today was their last day, so I don't know what that business is going to be from now on, but we're working. I met with the business owner or the building owner today, talked about replacing that street tree. Public Works is going to pay to put a new street tree back in its place. We're talking about proposing with Public Works Director to put a conifer in the plaza for a holiday tree. There used to be a large conifer in the plaza that they would Festival of Lights would light up every year. We're going to go out in 2 weeks and look for a tree and hopefully plant a large conifer there in the plaza. We also have several other tree plantings coming up for street trees. One is the street tree requirement that came through this commission or committee for in front of the Ashland Armory. There's a couple of trees that got replaced or got removed for a water line that went in there. Those are on our agenda for replacing this month.
The new or old armory?
The old armory. And we're putting up our ice rink tent for the season this next week. And as a compliance issue with putting up our ice rink tent, we try and provide screening between the neighbors that are up above the tent. And we'll be planting a couple of yew trees up above to screen the tent as well. And then the reason I'm on the agenda tonight for the presentation is about the Green Legacy Project. And when I left, I used to work for SOU, and while I was there, I was approached by a lady named Hideko Tamara Schneider, and she is a peace ambassador from Japan. And she wanted to grow some trees from seeds of survivor trees that had survived the Hiroshima atomic bombing. She was ginkgos, persimmons, hollies. There was some camphora trees that won't grow in our climate and a couple other species of trees. We requested 800 seeds, 100 of each variety of tree that we could grow here in our greenhouse at the university. Out of all the 800 seeds that we planted, we had the best luck with ginkgos. We had 96 of them sprout. Out of the 96, we're down to 54 that are still thriving. And we had four persimmon trees and a couple of hollies make it. So when I left the university, it was kind of at a critical time in protecting those plants and figuring out what was going to go, what was going to happen to those plants as I transitioned to parks. And I didn't have a good capacity to just bring them directly over to parks. And so I reached out through Oregon Community Trees, which is a board that I serve on that oversees the Oregon Department of Forestry and the U.S. Forest Service Urban Forestry Program in Oregon. Jim Gerspach, who works out of Salem, he's their public information officer, worked with Jennifer Killian, who is the City of Corvallis Parks Urban Forester, and they found a place to take these trees and help disperse them to other Tree City USAs in Oregon. They have 45 of them right now, and we're taking up the last 15 tomorrow morning to Corvallis. So now they're kind of out of my hands, except for the one that I reserved for Ashland that's still up in the Lithia Park yard right now in the little growing area that we have. We've got a couple of ideas for where we could plant them. We want to gather as much support from the community as possible, including a letter of support from the Tree Commission officially, before I go sit down with the mayor and see if I can get the mayor's support and city council support. I would really like to have the Ashland Parks Commission, the mayor and city council, the Tree Commission, the Japanese Peace Ambassadors, international students of Southern Oregon University, the governor of Oregon, and potentially the state forester for Oregon come down for this event and have this really historic planting of a peace tree from the survivor seed of a ginkgo tree that was closest to the epicenter of the blast in Hiroshima. We're going to plant it this spring. It'll be 2020, which is the 75th anniversary, memorialized anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. Hideko Tamara Snyder, who is the Japanese peace ambassador that helped me procure these seeds, has written several books about her experience in life and surviving, being one of only a few people from her town that survived this, and one of the few people in her family that lived through this. She is in her 80s. She lives in Ashland, and she is fighting all kinds of illnesses that are a direct effect from radiation poisoning as a child. And we are extremely hopeful that she will be able to be healthy enough during the planting to participate in some form or give a little presentation. So that's kind of my spiel about the project that's coming up.
So did you mention the location of where you're planning to put it?
So I proposed a location. The thing with these ginkgo trees is that you can't sex ginkgo trees, and female ginkgo trees produce seeds, nuts. Yeah. The seeds, as they decompose, smell like vomit, essentially. They're not, it's not a pleasant...
Because the trees up there in the Japanese garden do that.
Yeah.
I think it's a pleasant smell, but...
And the ones...
I'm weird.
There's also a bunch of large ones right behind the growler guys here in town, along that portion of that one-way street right there. Those are all female, too. And they make quite the aroma.
Okay.
It's very pungent. Some people don't care for it. Personally, tree smells don't typically bother me. You know, I wouldn't call it a reason not to plant one, but I think that it's important that we pick a location that we're well aware that it's going to cause an issue for some people and that they're going to make a little bit of a mess. So I also wanted a high visibility location. And so I proposed originally what we call Gilligan's Island, which is a small, right now it's a pollinator planting bed by the We Are Here statue. Right as you come into the top of the plaza, there's the Flip Burger and the Japanese restaurant right there.
Kobe.
Kobe. Yeah, yeah. There's the totem pole that was poured in bronze. There's a landscape bed just uphill from that. It's a rather large triangular bed.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the traffic light there, kind
yep.
of.
Yeah.
Oh.
But
cool.
Dead center in the middle of that bed, because then when the fruit falls, it just falls into the bed. Very few people, there's a sidewalk on one side of that, but very few people use it because they're usually on the other side of the road. I proposed that to the Green Legacy Project, and they didn't reject the idea, but they definitely brought up some concerns that one of the things that they're really looking for in a planting location is the ability of people to come quietly and reflect and spend time thinking about nuclear nonproliferation and peace. And that site doesn't lend itself to that because there's no bench, there's no... So I'm looking for ideas on planting locations.
Japanese garden.
We can't put it in the Japanese garden because the Japanese garden will be under construction for the next 2 years.
And it needs to be in the ground before then.
Yeah. We want to plant it. So the state of Oregon, Oregon Department of Forestry, is taking over this project. And they are giving these trees to Tree City USAs that have requested them. And right now they're out. They have more applications than they have trees for. Mm-hmm. All of those trees will be planted in 2020 to memorialize the 75th year as this larger, you know, this is Oregon, this is a Oregon Department of Forestry program. Oregon Department of Forestry is also celebrating its 100th birthday this year. I would suggest that it goes on city land
like
so that we know that it will...
SOU campus or...
The SOU campus could
or
be...
Or where the Peace Flame is opposite
the Walker. The Alden Pavilion?
They have that new Peace Flame, mm-hmm. the Eternal Flame. I mean...
That would be a great spot for it, actually.
Are you looking for a letter from the Tree Commission prior to the location, generally being supportive of the idea?
Yep.
Okay. And you're looking for that soon?
Sooner the better.
Okay. I could draft something between now and the next meeting, and you guys could adopt it in the November meeting if that is at your direction.
Awesome. Yeah.
And we can talk more offline about what you wanted to say or in.
That might be a nice educational opportunity, actually, because the kids go over to the flame for education about the event and the memorialization of it.
Who's that?
Who's that guy?
He's this funny-looking fellow here.
This is just a... So I'm passing around right now just a quick biography of the project, of basically how it's unfolded from November of 2016 up until now. And then those are the applications with frequently asked questions posted by the Oregon Department of Forestry now that they've taken over this project, and it's an actual application to get one of the trees. Obviously, we don't need to worry about that because we've already secured one of the trees for Ashland. I will say we did get, when I was at the university, I approached the university planning board about this, and there was somebody that sat on the university planning board that fought in World War II and brought up the idea that maybe survivors of World War II that had fought for the United States would be offended by this project in some way, and the idea got fairly quickly suppressed, that or defended, I should say, that it was resolved. But that did get brought up, so I figured I'd mention that. The only negative thing I've heard so far about this project was concern that somebody could be offended. I don't think it's an issue.
Has anyone asked a World War II vet who fought in the Pacific?
No, but they did actually plant one of these Hiroshima survivor trees at the only spot in the United States, in the continental United States, that was bombed during World War II, which is, I don't know if you're familiar with the history of World War II's bombing campaign by Japan, but they put forth a whole bunch of balloon bombs, and several of them landed in Oregon, and one of them was out in eastern Oregon near Baker City, and it landed, and it didn't go off, and then several years later, a church group, was up there, and it went off and killed 7 people, so it was the only fatalities of the World War II on U.S. soil. But they planted one at that location, so you can find a peace tree up there.
I could ask my veteran friend, he's about 96, and he did 6 tours, 6 major battles over there, Arnie Mead. It'd be an interesting question to kind of ask him. I imagine most of them would be so over war at this point that they would be supportive of the peace.
Most people embrace peace on both sides. So the cool thing about Hideko's story, too, is that after putting yourself in her perspective, like her entire family basically was killed and all of her friends and the whole community she grew up with, and instead of being, you know, angry and dedicating her life to, like, getting back at the people that caused that, she did the opposite, and she produced books on peace and sealing the, you know, the void between the United States and Japan and any countries that were having nuclear conflict or war. And so kind of a cool story with her.
Very cool. Yeah. That's great. Thank you.
And because I have to drive to Eugene at 6:30 in the morning,
Bit of fond farewell.
Yeah, I'm not going to stick around for the meeting, but to just so you guys know, myself, Pete, and Spencer Goddard, who works for me in Lithia here, are all going up to the Pacific Northwest ISA Educational Urban Forestry Conference for the next 5 days, and a climbing competition on Saturday. Chris is coming up as well to volunteer, and it's a really cool educational opportunity, and a lot of the topics in the agenda are exactly what you guys were talking about earlier today in your ad hoc session. We're going to be doing tours of urban forestry areas and looking at sidewalk conflicts and some of the code ordinances that they have in Eugene. So,
obviously, it kind of goes without saying, if you get valuable material at that, please, please feel free to bring it back and share with us.
Awesome.
Because one of the things the ad hoc committee is working on is adopting planning standards and so on and so forth. Yeah. So that sounds like a great opportunity.
That's awesome. Parks is also working on developing parks planting standards and tree protection standards. And at this stage, we're at basically James Urban's website has the free source industry best practice standards that you can use and adopt anywhere you want for free. It was a project that was grant funded by California Department of Forestry. And he has 13 specifications on tree planting. He's got 4 on staking. He's got like 25 on irrigation for trees.
Is that region specific or is it pretty broad across?
It's real broad.
Pretty general.
And they're just one page drawings, essentially, just call outs. So it's a step that it's not reinventing the wheel. It's like, this is best practice. We'll take this. We'll put our logo on it. That's our new standard. So we're not there yet, but we're working on it too. So
sounds good.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Have a good rest of your meeting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Do we need to make that official as far as a letter of support? Is that?
You know, it couldn't hurt to make a motion and formally give me direction.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So move. Yeah. Move we, submit a letter of support, thank you, for the Peace Tree Project.
Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Safe travels.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a good night.
All right. Did you have anything for us, Aaron? I
don't have anything significant to report under liaison reports. I do have an item that I'm going to add when we get to the discussion items portion, so I'll just save those remarks for then.
Okay. Well, then we'll move on to the review portion. This is a time and place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used at this hearing. Number one, the public hearing will be open to those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. Secondly, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. Third, after the staff report, the applicant and applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant or applicant's representative without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the presentation. 4 other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. 5, the staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or any matter which has been raised. And finally, the applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. So, just in interest of the good folks that showed up to present their application, we can do a little rearranging of the agenda here. I don't think anyone is here for the first one, 1090 Benson, correct? No. How about Roca Street? No, I think that was a city matter. So if you guys are okay, we could move on to the street trees. First one on the agenda there is 132 6th Street.
And that's me.
Is that you? Okay. We'll come on up and I'll leave you a little bit here. This is a request for a street tree removal of a 12-inch diameter black oak, which is interfering with the electric wiring and causing uplift to the sidewalk.
That's true.
I'm sorry?
That's true.
That's true. So one second, I'll just get through our legalese here and check in with everybody, but feel free to have a seat.
Thank you.
So I'm sorry, I called up order planning action PA tree 2019-00076. This is at 132 6th Street. The owner applicant is Willow Denon. And anybody needing to abstain from this one? Any party of contact? They may have a chance to visit this house. Can I have a look? Anybody?
I didn't visit this one.
Okay, one. One second, we'll get a staff report from Aaron.
Did you have a chance to look at
it? I did. Yeah.
May I preface this request?
Yeah, just 1 minute. For Aaron here, and then the floor will be yours.
Why don't you just take a moment and introduce yourself to the rest of the tree commission?
I'm Sharice Doriak. I'm on the Welfare Safety Commission.
Yes,
I'm new commissioner, and I couldn't find the room, so I'm sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Thanks
That's
for coming.
All right. Great. Thanks for coming.
For coming. Yeah.
So, Aaron, we're on to staff report for 132 6th Street. The first street tree removal there.
Yeah, sorry. Going out of order just threw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
The application materials are pretty straightforward. The site plan, I went ahead and drafted for the applicant and took the photos. The sidewalk does have some damage to it. There's the photo of it there. I saw more cracking than I saw uplift, but the tree is conflicting with the power lines slightly. But obviously, as a layperson, I don't have much to say with regards to the health of the tree, and would give the applicant the benefit to provide any additional information that they would like.
Okay, you're on. Welcome.
Okay, it's probably inappropriate, but
would you mind giving us your name and address?
I am Willow Denon. I live at 132 6th Street in Ashland, Oregon, 97520.
Thank you.
My inappropriate preface is that back in the 70s, early 70s, I was an initiator of the law that nobody could cut down a tree in Ashland without permission from the city. So I just want to say, out of honoring the tree, that I don't do this lightly, and I do respect the, and Ashland today is the loveliest place in the world. So, but this tree is it is interfering with the wires, and it is. I saw a man who is younger than, or appeared to be younger than I, nearly crashed completely, and it was a lift in the sidewalk, just less than a half an inch, and I worry because there are a lot of elderly people like me walking down the sidewalk even in the darker periods of time, and so I worry about the wires. I counted there are 10 wires up there, and this tree is really, and I look to the trees to the right and to the left of me, and they're much less cumbersome. Don't get to be 76. You'll lose your memory and your vocabulary. It ain't no fun. The tree also rains. I've never seen a tree do it before. It's a black oak, and it rains pollen. I mean, I can sit on my front porch and watch the mist come down, and it covers any cars that park out there with a real sticky substance. So it's the sidewalk and the wires. and also the mist, and personally and selfishly, I'm allergic to it.
Oh.
I'm doing just fine. I go out to sit on my front porch, and I just snuff up and start sneezing. And so I am requesting permission to take the tree down. And I've talked to the tree a lot and told him or her that I am requesting this.
Okay. Would you be open to pruning around those wires? I know that doesn't address a lot of the other issues that you're having too, but.
Okay, this is another comment that I should probably keep to myself. Don't ever get completely openly honest. It doesn't serve you well. I've moved onto this property. I raised my kids here from 69 to 89. And Ashland was, you might have been here that long, but my daughter rode her pony cart around the plaza and all around town. It just wasn't the same place that it is now. It was not an urban environment. And there was an apricot tree just above the park. They've cut it down now. There's a mulberry tree in the park. Dried mulberries also have the aroma of vomit. They don't dry well. But I raised my kids pretty much on wild food harvest. And I've always lived in a rural environment and raised my own food. They cut down an almond tree on Mountain Street where it crosses Maine, an almond and a white oak tree, which are two really good food sources. And there was a pear tree there, and they're not taking good care of that. If the whole economy does collapse, if some of these political people are correct and we do go into a recession, we need our food-producing plants. And most of the blackberry bushes are gone. A lot of the things that we used to eat are gone, and I am trying to raise as many food-producing plants on my property, my little lot, as I can. And I have an assortment of trees now, and bushes, raspberries, and things. I'm trying to, if I can, cut down the black oak tree, which the black oak acorns are not a real easily used source of food. Mm-hmm. I intend to plant a pecan and an English walnut, and he was talking about persimmons growing here. I didn't know that
there's,
was possible.
Yeah, there's a handful that do really well here.
Nice person.
There would be enough room to put in four food producing trees there, and they wouldn't be uprooting the sidewalk, which I checked into fixing it, and it's not financially feasible for me, because not only do I have to get a permit from the city to do it, I have to use the company, the city. I can't just hire some handyman to come out and fix the sidewalk. So that's an issue for me, and wanting to, that's all I can think of that I should have kept my mouth closed about.
No, that helps tremendously.
Oh, does it?
No, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for sharing that.
About that, because it seems like even if the tree is removed or not, the sidewalk's still going to need to be repaired. So there's no avoiding that expense. Just
that, out of our purview, but if the public works gets...
And I do
works,
question... But. You know, I was really a part of the government when I was here raising my kids, and it's all changed. Why would the city own the sidewalk?
Charge you for it.
You and every other sidewalk house owner in Ashland has a thought about that, but that's
okay. All right, you're already
out of our hands.
With that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions for Will?
No.
All right. Okay, so we'll close the public hearing portion, unless there was anybody here to speak on this one. I don't shelter is, but yeah. Did anybody else go see this one?
I didn't see this one. I just relied on the photographs.
No, I just looked at the photos.
Okay. I'm the only one that, okay.
Yeah.
No, and it looks like the walk is in bad shape.
What is?
From the photos, it looks like the walk is in bad shape.
Yeah. So, I doubt it's the tree causing that. It's a nice little tree, but it's long-term. It is going to be in conflict with those wires. I do think those fruit trees that you mentioned are going to be better as far as not, because at some point, just like the big elms at the corner there that church they renovated, they're just going to have to start hacking them, and red oaks will do well with that.
There's one tree there that they hacked, the church hacked 3 years ago, that is still bleeding. Every morning I go out there and it's a brand new pile of tree blood.
Yeah. Ultimately, yeah, that's a nice tree. I think you can put around the lower ones, but at some point it's going to be in conflict.
How old do you think it is?
This part, well, you probably planted it. Did you plant it?
No, I did not.
Oh, really?
I've only been there 3 years.
Oh, okay.
I came back.
Gotcha. I would guess 15. I mean, it's not that big, and it's nice because you've got a great little planting area right there.
Yeah.
If the wires weren't there, it'd be a nice spot for one big specimen oak tree, but yeah, that's my 2 cents. But anyway, I move we approve the application.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thanks for coming in, Will.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. So
yeah, sure. That's fine.
Yeah. Good luck with your fruit and nut trees.
Fine. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Now I'm free to go.
You are free to go.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Good night.
Good night.
So I think we have two more oak trees.
Willow. Just one note for you.
Yes.
The tree commission is a recommending body. The staff advisor virtually always follows their recommendation. But the decision won't be final until I get the paperwork signed by my supervisor. I'll call you in the next few days when it's officially a done deal and you're good to go ahead with its removal, okay?
All right. And I have three dogs that I rescued, and I have to take them out on long walks for half an hour or more. If my answering machine answers, it says, you have reached Morning Sky Productions, which was a video production company I was doing, and it gives a California telephone number.
Okay.
Leaving that message on there, the robocalls, don't call me back.
Sounds good.
So when you get that, that's my phone.
Sounds good. Thank
right,
you.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Bye.
So we have both Oak Street, and then we did get the one on Mountain Street in as well.
Obviously it's not in the physical packet. I did send it to everyone, and I do have the physical file here.
So I did, one of our arborists with Canopy was involved with that one, so I'll recuse myself on that. And I actually did just meet these folks on Oak Street, so I'm going to have to sit that one out as well. So
which one are we considering right now?
So 153 Oak Street is next on the agenda. And
it's the Mokole House?
Yeah.
Sweet gum.
Which one is it?
It's the sweet gum out in front of the coal house.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So, Kat, you do have to read through the laminated one that is marked number 2 at the beginning of each hearing.
Okay.
Thanks for doing that.
Which number?
It's the one that should have the 2 on top.
This one right here. Not the call to order, though.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because it's not. It's a different one, right?
This is... Sorry.
No, I think that's it.
Oh, yeah. This is the one. Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry.
I just want to get the planning...
Please feel free to have a seat.
Sure. All right. So, call to order the public hearing regarding planning action number PA Tree 2019-00079 at 153 Oak Street. Do any of the members of the commission wish to abstain? John, Chris has abstained already. Declare a conflict of interest. And did anyone have a site visit to this one? I did. Anyone else? Russell or Eric, did either of you?
No.
Okay. All right. And can I hear the staff report? At this time, I call for the staff to present the proposal and the applicable conditions of approval.
Yes, so this is a street tree that is causing pretty obvious sidewalk uplift. The arborist report indicates that the tree is in fairly good health, but that it is causing that sidewalk uplift. The applicant is here, and I would have asked them to speak on their behalf regarding any additional details, because that's about all I have in the application materials.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so you have up to 15 minutes to present your testimony.
Okay, well, my name is Mary Reimer, and I'm the new owner of the McCall House. And I guess I started noticing that tree when we were assessing the property to purchase. And it was in the winter, so there wasn't many leaves left on the tree. And then when it did start to get leaves through the spring, we had purchased it in January, that McCall House in January, and then it started getting leaves in spring. I thought it looked a little sad. I mean, it's a pretty tall tree, 50 plus feet. It is lifting quite a bit on the sidewalk. So I was watching it, and we decided, well, maybe if we trimmed it up a little bit. We did do some landscaping in the front of the McCall House, and so they did trim it up quite a bit for us. And I think over the winter, it must rain a lot. There is no, I don't know if it's typical for the park road to have no water drips in that area. I do not think there's any water.
I wouldn't say that there's any typical yes or no. That's typically, if it is irrigated, it's tied into the property.
Okay. Maybe that's why it's searching those roots toward my, the front yard of the McCall House. But anyway, we did trim it up. It does look a lot better this year, I mean, health-wise. And Canopy said it was a pretty healthy tree. I just feel it's really topped out on the street. It's very tall. And last year I did take some pictures of some of the limbs falling on other trees, on cars that were parked underneath the thing. Yes. And that limb was on the tree, on the car when I originally saw it, and then someone ran out and pushed it off, I guess. But that limb was on one of the cars that was parked underneath the tree. It is public parking all the way down that street. Another problem, other than the lift on the sidewalk, we have 20 plus older people that stay at our bed and breakfast at night. So there's quite a bit of traffic going up and over that bump. And I don't know if you did, you probably did see the bump. It is pretty big. I mean, it's more than a quarter inch. I mean, that's not the greatest picture, but you can see it is quite a bit. It looks like they've already ground it down and tried to replace it with things. So that happened. So, I'm just concerned about the safety of people walking that sidewalk. Also, it does release the gumballs a lot. I constantly, all spring, was out there, so no one would trip and fall on him. So another safety issue right there. And then, it looks pretty good, and I'm not saying I want to cut down a healthy tree. That's not my point. But right now, right next to that tree is a electrical boxes. And there's a lot of spray painting going around the electrical boxes right now. And so I walked out watching this guy spray paint around this electric box, and it's very close. I wish I would have thought to take a better picture of how close those electric boxes were to this tree, but I didn't need to do that. But so I did walk out and I asked, who he was and what was going on, because he's spraying on the park row and then along the street right in front of the curb. And he said he was Charter, and they're going to be digging up all the way across East Main again with this, and I said, oh my gosh, well, nobody's you know, came and told us. I mean, we have people that are have to pull down that sidewalk. I mean, pull down our easement and to park in the back. And anyway, so I did call the Public Works and left a message, but got no reply. So I do not really know when that's going to happen, other than there's a lot of spray paint on the ground. So that is going to cut across the other side of in the street where the roots are. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to affect the tree. Nobody can actually say it might or might not. So that's another concern I have. I mean, this year I have the money to take the tree out, replace the tree, and fix the sidewalk. So I'm just hoping that, you know, if I think it would aesthetically look better also on that street to have, you know, maybe a smaller, healthier-looking tree. But that's all I can say. I mean, there's no, you know, other than the safety of it, reason I want to get rid of a perfectly good tree, other than that. So I'm just hoping that, you know, if you decide that it is removable or, it is lifting enough to be worrisome, especially after they dig along the other side of it, that I would be happy to replace the tree and fix the sidewalk. So that's all I have to say.
Does the commission or staff have any questions for the applicant?
I just have one. I think you already answered, but it is a healthy tree.
Yeah, it looks better this year. I was concerned last year when I saw it. I mean, it didn't look all that healthy to me. But like I said, it got a lot of rain this year, and we did trim it up quite a bit, raise it above the car line. It was kind of pretty low on the car line last year. So you could see how it was way down here, all the limbs. We took it up quite a bit. So, to me, it looks healthier. I mean, maybe it was just the boost of getting the, you know, limbs cut.
Did you buy the property in January of 2019? I'm just trying to figure out.
When you last year, 2019.
That's still
this January.
Year.
This last
that's
January.
That's still this year.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Has Public Works talked to you about the lifting of the sidewalk? Or?
No.
Nobody's made a formal complaint at this point. Mm-hmm.
And there are some pavers in the park lane right there by it. And
yes,
Yeah, right. Okay. And they're starting to buckle and lift too. I didn't know if I had to ask to remove those pavers, because I just feel that the dirt, like, just keep the gravel in there instead of the pavers, because as those roots lift in those pavers, people are tripping on the pavers also. So if I could remove the pavers and just put, that would help too, dirt in front. That
I have a question about when the arborist took a look. Did they lift the sidewalk at all and determine whether the tree, the roots could be, or did they not?
He said that the roots could be, he could try to cut the roots out from underneath the sidewalk. So now you're saying you're going to cut the roots on this side of the sidewalk, and then some roots are going to get cut from the charter, so I don't know how much a tree can take, but I'm willing to try that too. So,
any other comments or questions? My suggestion would be to go the route that we went with on 6th Street, with the having an arborist assess whether, because the tree is a lovely big healthy tree, and if the roots can be trimmed, then, and can we do it in the same way that if the arborist determines that the tree can be saved at the time of the concrete lifting, I know it's a pretty high trafficked area, then they could be trimmed at that point, and then, I mean, the sidewalk's going to have to get replaced,
mm-hmm.
no matter what happens with the tree.
Yeah, I mean, this is a interesting one in that context, because typically sidewalk conflicts come from complaint-driven public works.
Right.
And now we're in a situation with a request for a tree removal where it's obviously there's a sidewalk conflict. There would be some steps involved, because we would need to have you coordinate with public works to get a sidewalk closure permit first. But I don't see any reason why your motion couldn't be to do just that, and you're delegating the removal approval to the arborist.
Right. Yes. What are your thoughts on that?
I like it.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, especially if it's a healthy tree. I'd hate to see a healthy tree come down. We're just talking about the carbon roll.
Yeah. Okay, well, I move to, how did we word this before? To have the tree assessed.
May I?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
I can never remember the wording for this one.
A potential motion could be that you approve the application as submitted with a condition of approval that the removal only be authorized if the project arborist determines that it be required. It's kind of as far as I got.
Pruning, pruning isn't
determine
sufficient solution.
That.
So am I required to pay for that also? Just
well, almost all of this is going to be.
Well, I know.
Anyway,
I know.
So
I know. I'm just saying that. Well, you know. I mean, sometimes you got to do a little give and take. I mean, so I'm going to pay for root removal, a new sidewalk, and I'm still not sure the tree, you know, is going to maintain a healthy balance after the two sides of the street are or roots are. I'm just saying
that's
kind of strange.
That's what the arborist is going to be considering if they think that the tree can be preserved with removing enough root to make that sidewalk nice and flat and safe again, then that's the ideal situation because that tree actually adds a lot of value to your property.
Okay.
And removing it is actually a lot of expense
yeah,
also,
really
and you'd
expensive.
Be avoiding all of those, you know, up to an $800 tree removal fee. So the tree...
$1,500, it costs $1,500.
Yes, exactly,
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not
so,
cheap.
Right.
But root pruning may be considered, I don't know, it may be considerably less, so it may actually end up in your financial favor to preserve the tree, because the sidewalk's going to be having to dealt with whether
anyway.
The tree stays or not. So
okay.
It's not, we're not actually putting like a financial burden on you. It may actually end up. It's hard to say, but the arborist will make a decision about whether the tree can
right.
be preserved and to make it compatible with the sidewalk safety.
Okay. Okay. And maybe we can wait to see how much they're going to tear up the street along the other side of the roof.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the timing would be because there's no complaint at this point. The timing's up to the property owner, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The permit would be valid for 18 months after we authorize
yeah.
it.
So you have it. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can make
sure
your choices
you got,
after
yeah,
the
good
tree.
Time
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they
okay.
may come in and just kill your tree and it's solved for you.
Well. Okay.
So.
I mean, there. You know.
Ooh, okay. Do I need to verbiage that or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you try
can
your best.
Read it from your skin.
Please.
Short screen. I move to approve the application as submitted with a condition of approval that the tree only be removed, only be authorized if the project arborist determines that it be required for the structural stability of the tree.
Right.
Yeah.
That doesn't quite
No, it doesn't. Be required to
maintain ADA compliance on the sidewalk. Okay, I move to approve the application as submitted with a condition of approval that the removal only be authorized if the project arborist determines that it be required to repair the sidewalk and be ADA compliant.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Good.
Passed.
So, since...
And the Tree Commission is not
We're just a recommending
body. We only recommend.
I know. And also, but I'm just asking about the pavers. You have no interest in talking about that. That's
you're
public
welcome
works.
To landscape the planning strip however you like.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Yeah. I can take those pavers out without too much.
Absolutely. Right. Okay. Generally, we are looking for landscaping in planter strips, if at all possible, because if it's just dirt, that will have a tendency to be walked on and compacted, which is to the detriment of the tree. But as far as those pavers that are in there, you can remove them, you could plant bushes. You're free to landscape the planting strip as you see fit.
Okay.
I will be in touch with you in the coming days so we can speak about the sidewalk closure permit that you'll need. And you're obviously going to need to work with a concrete contractor to pull up the sidewalk so your arborist can assess what's going on under there. And that's going to have to be a contractor who's pre-approved to work in the right-of-way. We have a list of those, and there's someone in Public Works I can put you in touch with.
Okay.
So you and I will be talking, if not tomorrow, early next week.
Okay. That sounds great. All right, thank you.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's a discussion item.
So the next tree item is that extra packet that I emailed to you. There's not a physical copy here.
Oh.
No, this is also John's.
Oh, okay.
This is a street tree removal that is on Fair Oaks. It's related to the Julian Square condos. I did email all this to you, but I'm more than happy to pass around this hard copy for you. The most interesting thing about this, and the most compelling to me, frankly, is that the original planning application... Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. You need to tee this one up for me.
Can you check me the number on
that?
All right. I call to order the public hearing regarding planning action number 3-2019-00081. Do any members of the commission wish to abstain? Yes, Chris has abstained. Declare a conflict of interest. And do we have any site visits for this one? No, I didn't get up there either, sorry. At this time, I call for the staff to present the proposal and the applicable conditions of approval.
Thank you. So when Julian Square went through planning approval, this was not meant to be a protected tree. Their planting plan indicated that all those street trees were going to be red maples. And they actually included in their application materials, and I can pass this around, the landscaping plan showing where one red maple that was originally scheduled to be planted was not, and a Siberian elm that had predated the development
was left instead.
So it was not deliberately protected during the development process, but for whatever reason... Sorry?
It's a survivor.
It's a survivor.
Not for much longer.
Part of that reason had to do with the fact that there's a pullout there for parking, and I believe that must have affected it. It is, as you can see in this tree... In this photo, super close to the curb line.
Right.
It is really, really up on the curb line.
Actually, I parked right in front of that tree just two
weeks
ago.
Well, then you made a site visit.
So I did make a site visit.
You did make it.
I wasn't aware of it.
And there's also irrigation boxes that are that need to be repaired and are being damaged by this tree. The applicant is here, and I would like them to give a fuller presentation of the facts if they wouldn't mind. And you guys can review the materials.
So you have up to 15 minutes to provide testimony, and if you could introduce yourself to the commissioner, please.
My name is Paul Siegel. I live in Julian Square, but I'm also on the board of Julian Square. And so...
Have you been here before?
I'm not in the commission, no.
No, okay.
So part of our issue here is... It has starting to cause root damage on our irrigation system that's located there. There's also a city meter irrigation box right next to the tree. And so we spent $600 fixing a leak. In order to solve our problems there, we would probably have to take out a considerable amount of roots to do that. The arborist spoke about that in their letter, so I don't know if you've seen that letter.
Yeah, we got this package.
It should be in there, and it was in your email. Yeah.
It also is severely raising city infrastructure, and the thing about this tree is that it'll never get better. Everything about it is just going to cause more problems. It's not going to somehow stop causing problems.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I think it was that the original planning design did not show a drive out, or a little parking area. And then when they routed it around to where that Siberian Elm was, it might not have been too close when they did it, but the tree was growing that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's already lifting the sidewalk, not the sidewalk, but the curb line, and causing damage to our infrastructure. So really our application is like, we would like to just do the landscaping the way it was designed to do. All these are red maples except for that word. And for some reason, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why. But obviously I think it was the intent to remove it, because it was not, its distance from sidewalk or from curb was too close, and they knew it was going to not be a very good tree to live with forever.
Right.
And
yeah.
For some reason, it didn't happen.
So you want to put in another maple?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, we want to do a red maple there.
What size do you know?
No, these red maples are a funny tree because they sort of have they grow real, all their limbs are real tight next to the, and they sort of go upright.
Well, it depends which variety.
Yeah, true. And so, but it's on the plans, and that's what we want to do.
Okay.
We have to work with the arborist. He's going to grind it down, and then we'll have our landscaper. We have to solve our irrigation system problem. Then we can get to all the roots.
Right.
If we had to dig out all the roots now that were actually on a landscape area, all the rest are under the road or under the parking area. So that's our goal. That's why we want to do this. Because also, we're looking at this as long term, and it's not going to get any better for anybody.
No, definitely not. Not with the elm.
Not with the.
I know, and it's not really a tree. It's not on the street tree list or anything. We sure want more of these.
Not.
It's basically a weed tree.
Does commission have any
very,
questions?
Very healthy and fast growing, but.
Any other questions for the applicant?
No.
No, I think they have a good plan.
Yeah.
What to do about the area.
Did you want to look at this?
No, that's fine. I've got it on my phone here.
No, because that trunk's just going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Because it's probably rooted into the irrigation.
Sorry. Yeah, and there's a city water meter right there, and we already popped a valve on. It already popped one of our valves.
Yeah, it's definitely hooked into the water system. And boy, will it grow.
And it has a tendency to drop all these little branches. Anytime the wind blows, all these little branches come flying down from the tree.
It thins itself.
So your thoughts are that's probably a good plan to replace the Siberian elm, just in terms of species?
Totally good with getting rid of that tree and planting per plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm fine with that.
All right. I move to approve the application as submitted, with the condition that they're going to replace it with the red maple as stated. All in favor?
We didn't have a second.
Oh,
I'll second.
A second?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Sorry you had to wait so long.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I was even wondering I was going to be on the meeting, but we were.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You can tell Chris he can come back in.
He's probably gone home.
He just said, look at this.
You carried me out
later. Well, you did a good job.
You did great.
Thank you.
You did really good. Jeez. You know, I'm glad you didn't hand it to me because I don't remember how I could see it. So.
It's like a hat.
I brought my new book up.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to that original red maple that was supposed to go there. Did someone take it home?
So it probably ended up in someone's backyard.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. and a Siberian elm got replaced.
We did a big project years ago. And
you know what? This next one's you too, man.
Everybody took them all.
Are you serious?
Benson.
After you put them in the ground.
No wonder you're busy.
We'll come get you in a minute.
Take your book this time.
I put in 100 azaleas that had been, in pots. You know how tight they are. Next morning, the whole bed was cleaned out.
That's amazing.
All right.
Jaw drop.
I call to order the public hearing regarding planning action Tree 2019 00077 at 1090 Benson Way. Do any of the members of the commission wish to abstain? Were there any site visits on this?
I went to that
site. Good for you. All right. And may I hear the staff report?
Yeah, so this is a tree removal request. The applicant is Canopy. You have the letter in the packet.
Yeah.
The tree in question is a black cottonwood. It has multiple co-dominant trunks measuring 17, 24, and 9 respectively. It's in poor health as evidenced by the dead top and its central leader. He goes on to conclude that he strongly recommends removal of the tree. During the notice period, I did receive a comment from someone who either received a notice or saw the physical notice posted. Based on their address, they probably received the mail notice. So this is not in your packet. I received this just yesterday. They work next door to the property where the application has been filed. I'm just going to read this in its entirety. While there's an 8-inch diameter maple tree on the property, it's not in the spot indicated on the map, and it appears to be in good health. The tree that is in the spot indicated on the map is not a maple tree and is a very large tree, which, I mean, it's
black cottonwood.
It's black cottonwood,
yeah.
So
this person's a bit confused about which tree.
Well, actually, now that I'm looking at the notice, I apparently made an error in the notice and did refer to it as a maple.
Ah.
So that accounts for that confusion.
Okay,
because you had a ribbon on it.
Yeah.
Definitely is not a maple.
Yeah, so clearly that was an error on my part in terms of the description in the notice, and okay. I may have to actually post another notice. What is substantive, though, as it may bear on this application, goes on to say, this property has removed at least 3 very large trees in the past 2 years, none of which appeared to be in poor health or were posted as having applied for a permit to remove them. I'm writing because I question the veracity of the information in the application for the permit, and also because this property owner has removed a lot of lovely trees. So I can clearly, I will contact this person and explain to them the species difference. But I thought the allegation that they had potentially removed other trees should at least be mentioned.
Could be hearsay. Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
there might be neighbors that don't like each other.
We could look at Google Maps and see what it looks like historically and compare it to current. I mean, it'd be pretty hard to tell. Yeah, I mean, property is not... It's not really highly trafficked. It's not something you'd go by every day and then notice all of a sudden there's a tree
missing.
Because
it's clear in the back.
Yeah.
Right. And, additionally, it could have been trees that were not on the property and were misidentified. But I think that the arborist's letter and the photos provided in the application provide strong evidence
in favor.
For
this tree.
Yeah.
Well,
isn't that it doesn't matter what else they've done in the past. Anyway, we're dealing with what's here in front of us.
Yeah.
So.
Because they're only requesting that particular.
Doesn't look like we have anyone here providing testimony. Does the commission have any comments regarding, and I'd like to hear about the site visit and your.
Well, I found the tree with no trouble. And testing out a GPS gadget on the phone, found the property, no problem. But anyways, it's a poplar, and it's got a big dead branch coming off to the left, top third of it is dead. No leaves up there at all.
Okay.
And definitely needs to come out.
Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions?
No, I think we should approve the
All right. I move to approve the application as submitted. Do we want to request a planting of another tree?
So if it's not a hazard tree, mitigation is required.
Okay.
The code says that if it is a hazard tree, mitigation may be required. If it is not a hazard tree, mitigation shall be required.
Did they say it's a hazard tree in this?
The arborist report didn't have anything to indicate that it was a hazard.
No. What do you reckon it'd go well there, some nice native species?
I think something like an oak. Not in that particular spot,
can
but
we be
somewhere
that
on the property.
Can we be that specific? Or
so
we can just say a native tree of similar size and stature?
No.
It's a poplar.
And it's also 60 feet tall.
Will become.
Sure. One of the catch-alls is a deciduous tree that will be large stature at maturity. That's language we often use.
All right.
Okay.
I move that we approve the application as submitted with mitigation of planting a tree, deciduous tree at maturity, which will be of similar stature. Is that right?
Similar size and stature.
Similar size and stature. Yeah. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion approved. All right. That's that, 1090 Benson Way. All right. Rocker Street. Ah, this is the one on SOU campus.
Yeah, I didn't get over there.
No.
I was having trouble with the gadget.
Photos on this one are pretty scary. It
froze up.
He's a chair.
It wouldn't accept the input. I put the address in it.
He's the outbound.
And
if you were wondering,
it wouldn't work.
All right. My kid's at home alone, so I'm going to keep rushing through this. I call to order the public hearing regarding planning action number PA Tree 2019-00078 at 580 Roker Street. Did anyone have a chance to make a site visit?
No, but yes. I did look at the picture.
One site visit.
Can you take my agenda?
I do have your agenda. At this time, I call for the staff to present the proposal and the applicable conditions of approval.
Yeah, so this is a 22-inch pine tree that's leaning significantly. SOU is generally exempt from tree removal permits unless they're over 18 inches, which is why this is before you tonight.
Got a bit of a lean.
They were trying to cast it as being a emergent removal, but it didn't really pass the straight face test because it's clearly been growing at that angle for some time. But that is why it is before you here this evening. And they propose to plant two-inch caliber trees in the central campus to offset the loss of the pine. And I don't have any other information to present other than that.
Sounds fine.
That's pretty rough. It looks like they tried to take some weight off it, too.
They probably did, because when they called asking to remove it, it was a Thursday. And they're doing some work in that building that was going to require a crane. And they were like, we're doing that tomorrow. And so they said they were going to need to do some limbing up to allow that to work. So that's probably what you saw.
That's good. Two for one on the mitigation, right?
Yeah.
Jim McNamara, he's a straight-up dude.
All right. Any other comments or questions?
No.
Okay, I make a motion to approve the application as submitted with the mitigation that they've already suggested. Do I have a second?
And a third and a fourth.
All in favor?
Motion passed. All right.
Is that it? I think there was one. I had notes on the discussion item. We did want to,
the
as a full council, we were talking about. What were we talking about? Street tree removals. in a way to codify or even just suggest strongly that the city arborist, Peter or Michael, be allowed to inspect that. So something like street tree removal is requested, starts with public works, right? I've got an issue with the sidewalk, we've been seeing a lot of these, and then they want to cut the tree down. But we would like to have an impartial but expedient process in order to inspect what the roots are doing in that scenario, and if the tree should be removed or if it can be retained, and not have to wait months for it. And somebody trusted on the staff in-house at the city, give them kind of a go-ahead to make that call, as opposed to people having to wait a month or 2 months for us to see it. In the meantime, they're liable for being sued by the city if anybody trips on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
And trying to, not have to require somebody like an arborist.
Yeah, now who's liable if someone trips, the city or the property owner?
So when we receive a complaint about a sidewalk uplift problem, the city is technically liable up until we notify the property owner that it is an issue and they need to correct it. At that point, as has been described to me, the liability passes to the property owner and they have a period of 30 days to get it rectified. And this has always been that catch part, right? Because we say you have 30 days to fix it. And this is why we formed the ad hoc committee to begin with, is that we were creating scenarios where one part of the city is saying, fix your sidewalk. Oh, by the way, that tree might need to come out. And then in the process of trying to address it, they come to before the tree commission and say, we want to remove the tree. And we say no. And so it creates a situation where the city is not acting in concert. And so as John was describing, where we kind of hit two to Chris, having two first names, no doubt.
I do it all the time. Sure.
It's cool.
And so as Chris was saying, that where we hit on today during the ad hoc discussions was there have been loose conversations about parks allowing Peter in his capacity as an arborist to support us to the tune of a couple of hours a month, which should work. We need to formalize that with the Parks Department. But essentially, the motion that we're trying to make is that the Tree Commission is agreeing to delegate that remove, not remove decision to someone who is on city staff, who would be able to be there when the sidewalk is coming up and can make that call and say, I think you can prune those two roots and you're on your way. Or, nope, clearly that big monster root is the one causing the problem and there's no way you can cut it off. And then what would happen is, as those happen on a month-to-month basis, he'll report back to the tree commission. And I believe we also discussed wanting to adopt it for a period of 12 months and then review it.
Yeah.
So sorry if I put too many words
in
your
mouth. No, I'm getting that, yeah. So anyway, that was, up to speed.
Do I have a second for that?
Yeah, well put. I'm feeling woefully inarticulate tonight. We wanted to make a motion to that.
So we have to word that.
So what I have written,
less than 200 words.
What I have written right now is a motion to propose a policy to delegate approval of street tree removal as required when public works initiates. I need to add some words in here.
Yeah.
Approve parks arborist. I'm more than happy to sit here and craft it with you all. If you have any suggestions about how that should be phrased differently, it is a rather cumbersome motion.
Yeah.
But I think it needs to be for the specificity of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Main point being a qualified staff.
Qualified. I like that word.
Arborist.
Yeah.
From parks.
From parks.
Yeah.
From
parks.
And it's contingent on us finalizing that resource from parks.
Yes.
Which I would think this motion would help in going to them to finalize that, right? I
mean, absolutely.
In your pocket.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing it.
In an effort to streamline the process, right?
Right. I mean, that's good starting words.
Also, maybe something in there just to so the two aren't at odds. You know, I mean, what you said in the first place, sort of, you know, fighting each other about it.
Well, I think the verbiage of in an effort to streamline the process,
For streamline, basically giving the decision making power to a staff. Qualified staff arborists that would report regularly to the tree commission on their decisions, on their activities.
And to be reviewed.
To be reviewed after a period of 12 months. Or
12 months.
Yeah.
Do I hit the highlights?
Mm-hmm.
If you can put that one together, you're doing a heck of a job.
You're earning your salary.
It's gonna need a little bit of yeah. wordsmithing, but I think that I can faithfully capture it.
Okay.
We think you can too.
Yep.
Yes.
And we second it and we eye it.
Did we have a vote?
Yeah, so move. We got a second.
Second.
And unanimously passed.
Unanimously passed, yeah.
I would propose, in the interest of time, and since we really kind of addressed the discussion item by virtue of making that motion, mm-hmm. that we skip the next item that's on the agenda, and then briefly, very briefly, I want to take a moment and talk about Tree of the Year for 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a fun one.
When I was reviewing the agenda for today and saw Mike's presentation dealing with Arbor Day, it was the kick in the butt that I needed to realize, oh, we generally try to, well, as I understand it,
announce Tree of the Year around Arbor Day.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're probably already a little behind the curve. I'm going to be working with Derek to get some nomination forms done. If anyone, especially if your commission is tree-oriented, have ideas for nominees for Tree of the Year, we'll be really interested.
Do we have any nominees? Or
at present, none.
Okay.
So I believe Tree of the Year kind of was on a really strong track up until 2015. There were some staffing problems with turnover. So best that I can tell, 16, 17, 18, never got around to it. The Dogwood on Granite, which was voted for in 18 and then awarded early this year. You can make the argument that it was the 18 or the 19. I think it makes more sense that it was the 19. So I would like to get us back on track with that, because everyone kind of enjoys the Tree of the Year, and there's so many great trees.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess what I'm throwing it out there for is if you've been driving by a tree and you're like, that's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see a slightly richer nomination pool than there was in 15. In 15, I think we only had 4 nominations.
What about 6 of them
we
last
year? We were pretty
year.
Good last year, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
last year we had at least 6.
And I think last year there was probably 6.
That was the best year we've had in a while.
Yeah,
that was
a tough competition, too. That was some.
It can be on the use parks.
So it gets voted on
it's
by the public.
It's citizen votes. Once the nominees are in, they get put up onto a website. We try to promote it through city mailings. We'll probably have a poster out here. There's not more than a couple of 100 votes, generally.
It's not like whether it's a native
or
a
yeah. There's no prescribed criteria.
Hunter Park all the time.
But generally, they're big, dominant, mature trees that are being nominated.
And anybody can nominate, right? It doesn't have to be the property owner?
I haven't been through this process.
Yeah.
I found a form that was prepared for, I guess it was when we voted the Dogwood in, where there were just blank forms, and I got the impression that anyone was free to submit a nomination.
I think that's what it is.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any guiding policy or code in regards to this, but I think it's whimsical and a lot of fun.
And there's no, like, I asked about this last year, too, because I thought, well, you know, your neighbor could nominate a tree in your yard if they didn't want you to cut it down, but there's actually no special protection for Trees of the Year. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if that gotcha. Property owner, you know, is like, oh, damn it, my tree's been nominated.
Don't you
now.
Dare.
Yeah.
Nominate
my tree. Kind of
they get a little plaque. They used to get a plaque.
They used to get a plaque.
They haven't got plaques, I don't think, for a while, though.
No, I believe last year's tree of the year, they got a nice a framed tree.
And they would be on a map so people could do a walk around the city.
But now what they do, they give everybody a blue ribbon.
Yeah, no, it was really a nice...
You know what? I have one anecdote to that. There was a couple who was in town visiting as tourists, and they came in and said, can you show me where I can get that map of all the trees of the year? We just there's a story map online. It links from the tree commission's page and shows you the whole city and where the trees are, and you can click on it and gives you some information about the tree. In fact, that's a project that needs some love. Some of them actually have nice little write-ups about, you know, this tree is rare for the area, and it really needs someone who knows something about trees to write them. One of those things that has been on my list of, oh, we need to get around to doing that. So anyway, that's really all I wanted to say about it for now, but would love, I'm going to try in the next month to get those nomination forms put together, figure out how we've publicized it in the past. And
usually it's articles in the newspaper that's, you know, saying go to this address to vote on the trees. But that's at the point once we have submissions. So we need more submissions first, right?
And would you clarify what it takes to nominate? Because for some reason, I thought something restricted me from doing it. I'm usually telling clients, oh, you should nominate that.
Again, I don't think there's a policy document or a code that governs this. If you were to come in with 10 nomination cards, I don't think I would have any compunction about saying these are all valid nominees.
Cool. So I could, if somebody was out of the country,
they
could write in, they could write the tree in, you know, like, I know.
Well, I think it has to be a tree within our corporate limits. How's that?
Okay.
It was a sequoia last year, right? But then that oak, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, it ended up being the oak up on...
So it came in and just stole it right out from under.
It was Mama Bella.
Oh, the Mama one?
Overall.
That was 15.
That was 25th.
No, it was last year.
The dogwood was last year.
No.
Was it?
Yeah, that was a while ago.
No.
Because I remember they got the black or they got their packet at the tree.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the tree that was voted on in October and was awarded this spring was a sequoia?
The giant sequoia, the huge one on Bellevue.
Bellevue, yep. And there was also a ponderosa that was up on Holly. There was another one just around the corner from the one on Bellevue. And then there was like another oak up on like High Bush.
Yeah, there was
Bush.
Some big oak.
Yeah, right. There was scenic and church.
I remember that picture.
So it sounds like your guys' recollections are better than the records that I actually have.
Yes, because you keep saying 2016.
And keep in mind, there was some staff turnover here.
Yeah.
Presidential commission.
Anyway.
The Russians.
I would love to mine with your resources because my records are incomplete.
Okay.
So I guess it's
I have some electronic information on that.
That'd be
I'll
great.
Forward it to you.
Please do.
On who the nominees were, and I think, I'm not sure if I got an official about, I think maybe our Arbor Day emails had something about who the winner was.
But it just has to be in the city limits, right?
Yep.
And it can't be in a
And it
public.
Can't be in city, it can't be in Lithia Park.
Or any park.
Yep.
Any city park?
No city right. park.
Really?
A cemetery, can't be a cemetery.
So the ponderosa and Holly would be I live across the street from that tree.
Yes, beautiful, the one with the big
tree leaders on it.
Yeah,
and it's sticking out.
It's like a big
rest.
Elbow kind of.
Yeah, I'm afraid it'll fall in my house.
Yeah, you could nominate it again.
I didn't nominate it. I just started it already won. So
no, it was very popular last year, but it didn't win.
Well, so I'll probably. I'll look for that from you because I would love to make those records be a little tighter. And we'll go from there.
Okay.
Cool. Okey-doke. Thank you for being here.
I'm so sorry. I was at City Hall before 6. I went to the police department.
Oh, gosh.
They would ring, you know, the door would ring if I And then they told me it was over here, so it took me half an hour to get here.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, the part that you missed is, so the typical format of the meetings is there's liaison reports at the top end where generally the council liaison is here and parks liaison. And Mike from the Parks Department gave a presentation up on
collecting data on the sidewalk.
It's been a while since I've been talking to you guys. Always working on lots, but.
Aaron, you can put this with the information on the sidewalk upheavals. This shows the different ball sizes.